This is Kevin with commercialledlights.com. Today I'm joined by our lead engineer, Peter.
Hello.
Now, Peter here has over 40 years experience prior to commercial LED working at a large utility company. And today what he's going to describe to us is the various details about explosion-proof lights, including the different class systems, zone system certifications, regulatory bodies for various global organizations throughout the world, when you can use it, where you can use it, etc. We're basically doing a semi-deep dive on the subject. There's a lot of misinformation out there about explosion-proof lighting, so I can't think of anyone better qualified to shed some light on the topic.
So thank you.
So let's take it away here, Peter. Let's start with the basics. You know, what are explosion-proof lights?
Explosion-proof light is a specially designed light that can safely operate in a hazardous environment.
And what? And how would you define a hazardous environment?
A hazardous environment is defined by NFPA, the National Fire Protection Association, and NEC, the National Electric Code. They define a hazardous environment officially called a hazardous classified location as an area where there's a high risk of fire or explosion due to the presence of flammable gases, liquid produced vapors, combustible dusts, and ignitable fibers.
And to further break it down, the hazardous location system consists of various definitions. Why don't
yes.
you break that down?
Class one is associated with flammable gases, vapors, or liquids. If they're normally present, then that's considered division one. If they're abnormally present, they're classified as division two. And that's for the chemical groups, acetylene, hydrogen, ethylene, propane, gasoline, methane, and butane. And then there's class two, which is associated with combustible dusts. Then you also have the division one, division two. Then class three, which is you have the easily ignitable fibers and filings, also division one, division two.
Thanks for that breakdown, Peter. And now is the hazardous location system law, is this legally required in certain facilities? Are these explosion-proof lighting fixtures required?
It is ultimately a law. NFPA and NEC defines the hazards as a classified location system. The explosion-proof, they also provide explosion-proof design guidelines, but it is enforced under OSHA, and after that, there is a UL safety standard 844. That's the important point besides the enforcement. 844 provides the detailed construction requirements and testing for explosion-proof lights.
Okay, thank you. And this is where a lot of confusion comes in. Are there design differences between the classes?
Yes, class one division one fixture provides the most robust protection through explosion containment. Division 2 and Class 2 designs prioritize prevention and exclusion with lighter instruction. And what I mean by exclusion, they try to prevent those particulates from getting into the housing and having an explosion.
That's important. And I think the source of some confusion, I think some people assume that Class 1 can be used for all Class 2 and Class 3 locations every time. Is that the case? Can a Class 1, Division 1 lighting fixture be used in Class 2 and Class 3 locations?
No, Kevin. A Class 1 explosion-proof light cannot be used in a Class 2 or Class 3 location unless it is explicitly dual-rated.
Okay. And so you've talked about the differences. What are the actual general design characteristics of a C1, D1 fixture?
The Class 1 Division 1 explosion-proof light, as I indicated, has a robust construction, which includes heavy cast aluminum or stainless steel housing and precision threaded and ground joints. And the idea is that it has to have a robust construction because over time, you're going to have a deterioration of the threads through vibration or whatever, and you're going to have the migration of the gas molecules that will eventually accumulate in an explosion-proof light. And if that does happen and it there is an explosion, the design of the Class 1 Division 1 light will contain the explosion and not let it get into the environment. Plus, a minor detail or major detail is that the LED light driver must be in the housing itself.
Particularly important in the oil and gas industry.
Yes.
And conversely, C1D2 design characteristics, how do they differ? Are they generally lighter?
Yes, the Class 1 Division 2 has lighter housing and, most importantly, gasketed construction, meaning that what they want to do is they want to prevent the migration of flammable particles getting into the light. That's the main design, is prevention, whereas the Class 1 Division 1, the gas particles obviously are much smaller. They are going to migrate through the various connections, and you want to contain the explosion if it does happen.
All right. On that note, can you provide examples of industries with hazardous environments where these explosion-proof lights are required to be used?
Yeah, certainly, Kevin. Class 1, which is associated with gases and vapors, they are found in chemical plants, fuel storage terminals, refineries, paint spray booths, and wastewater treatment facilities. Whereas Class 2, which is associated with combustible dust, the Group E metal dust, you find that in metal grinding facilities, machining, powder coating, and fireworks storage. Class 3, associated with Group F carbonous dusts, coal and carbon, you'll see that in mining operations, coal-fired power plants, coke production, carbon black manufacturing. And finally, Group G, Class 2, which is combustible dusts, we'll find in flour mills, grain elevators, wood and paper processing facilities, textile plants.
All right, appreciate those examples. Now, something similar to the class system, but actually totally different, there's zone classifications as well. It's my understanding that this is more common in outside U.S. applications like Europe, but you're the expert, of course, so can you break this down for us, Stan?
But exactly, Kevin. Zone classifications were introduced in 1996 in the National Electric Code. They do not replace the U.S. classification system. They are an alternative to align with the U.S. and IEC global practices.
Okay, and the zone classifications?
Just go through the first one. For gas and vapor, you have zone zero, where you could have or you will have gas vapor atmosphere that is present continuously. Zone one, you have a explosive atmosphere that is likely to occur in a normal operation only occasionally. And then zone two, explosion atmosphere is not likely normal in normal operation, but if it does occur, it's only for a short period of time. We just wanted to go through that part of the zone systems.
All right, appreciate it. And now, who certifies whether explosion-proof lights actually meet these legally required design standards?
There are nationally recognized testing laboratories, and there are four main ones. You have UL, and you can see the safety marks for the UL. ETL, which is Electric Testing Laboratory, or Enertech. You have FM, which is Factory Mutual, and CSA, which is your Canadian Standards Association. They all have a unique safety mark associated with that organization.
Is a UL 844 certified luminaire accepted in Canada?
Important point, no. 844 certification alone is not sufficient for legal compliance in Canada. In Canada, explosion-proof lighting is regulated under the Canadian Electric Code and must comply with CSA certified standards, not UL alone. To be accepted in Canada, it must have the CUL, CETL, or CFM mark. And you can see examples of that on the left-hand side where you have the four safety marks that we talked about. And notice that there is a C on the left side. That means it's certified for use in Canada only. And on the right side, you can see the four safety marks with both C on the left side and then the US on the right side. That means it's certified for use in both Canada and the US. A major or minor point is that the safety mark should have listed underneath or associated with the mark. And as you can see, you have the UL listed, ETL listed. FM is not, let's say you don't see it listed, but equivalent is that it's FM approved. You will not see listed or approved associated with the CSA or the Canadian Electric Code Safety Mark.
All right, it's important nuances, and at the commercialledlights.com, this is labeled for our Canadian customers, which ones are certified in US and Canada. Try to make that as clear as possible. What's the difference between UL 844 and CSA C22.2? Did I get that right?
You got it right. It's hard to pronounce, but technically there is really no difference. The main difference is that it's administrative or editorial because you're dealing with the two different countries.
And what about other certifications such as CE, ATEX, and things outside the US or even outside of Europe and the United States, such as South America and Asia? Can they be used in the US or Canada, or is it one-to-one?
You may see the CE or ATEX safety marks, but if they're seen alone, they're only applicable or they can only be used in EU countries and the EAA. But you may see certifications with the UL and the CE and EX. The ICEX is an international voluntary certification scheme. It's good if you have it, but if it's used alone, you're only limited to only a couple of countries, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore. But that's outside of the U.S.
Okay. And other certifications outside the U.S., Canada, EU, EEA?
Yes, there are other safety marks outside of U.S., Canada, and the EU. You can see these, but these are not necessarily safety marks for explosion-proof lights. You will have to have other safety marks associated with it, but these are examples of what you would see with Brazil, Japan, Korea, and Latin America. So you will see other safety marks, just for your information.
And in regards to safety marks, what matters more, the actual safety marks or class listings?
Well, safety marks, for buying and selling, the marks come first. Without them, many countries will not accept the product, even though it has the correct class listings. But for safe installation, the class listing is more important. You should check and have both.
This is very detailed and nuanced, so how do you actually know if a luminaire has been certified for the appropriate hazardous environment?
There's four things that should contain that safety information. It should be on the nameplate, or there is a specification sheet, constructional data reports, CDR, or a certificate in compliance. If you don't have, let's say, the spec sheet or the other documents, you can ask us to get those documents. We do have those documents. In most cases, we always have the specification sheet. We also have the CDR and the COC, but if we don't have them, we can request them from the manufacturer. We'll provide examples of those documents in the subsequent slides. So the next one is the nameplate for an R-Series 30-watt vapor-proof light, like this one right here. And we have the actual nameplate, an image of the nameplate. So starting on the left side going clockwise, you can see the classifications ratings at the upper left. Then the model number, as I indicated, it's a 30-watt R2 vapor-proof. Then you have the ET safety mark, and notice that you have the C and the US, and plus it says, importantly, ETL listed. So this light, this fixture here, is certified for use in Canada and the US. Then on the lower right, you have the IP ingress protection rating. Then kind of underneath the safety mark, you have the actual standards. So note that you have the US 844 safety standard, which is fourth from the bottom there. And then at the very bottom, you have the CSA 22.2 number 137 safety standard, Canadian safety standard. So this nameplate is very well documented with the necessary information. And then finally on the lower left, you have the T rating of the fixture.
Now there's a lot to look for in the spec sheet. There can be a lot of details. Here's an example of one of the spec sheets. I'm gonna have Peter here break down the various components of it.
Yeah, in most cases on our website with the fixture, we'll have the spec sheet that is downloadable. And note that on the left, you have your safety marks. Then also at the top under compliance, you have the certification class and division and groups. And again, notice at the top, you have the OL 844 HADIS location certification. And then the other important one that we mentioned before is the CSA 22.2137. Again, these are specifically associated with hazardous location luminaries. And then continuing on with the specification sheet, on the bottom there, under compliance, way at the bottom, it has other important information. It has the ABS, which is the American Bureau of Shipping, which is a Maritime Classification Society marked, indicating the product has been approved for use on ships and, importantly, offshore installations. The DLC mark means it's qualified by the Design Limits Consortium. Then you have the IP ratings, which is your, again, your ingress protection rating, IK08, which is your mechanical impact protection rating. 1,000 hours of salt spray refers to an accelerated corrosion test. And then the 5G rating, which is your G-force vibration rating, which is another, well, they're all important, but if you have a fixture exposed to continuous vibration, it's important to have the G-force vibration rating.
Mm-hmm. And the salt spray rating for oceanic conditions, coastal areas, things of that nature.
Yes. Another document that contains this information is CDR, as we mentioned before. Construction data report that's issued by the manufacturer. Note that for three fixtures, it lists the classification ratings. And also at the very top, notice that right away it says UL 844 and CA 22.2. And then it also has temperature ratings.
Temperature ratings is important, and there's some misconceptions to it where it's not the actual operating temperature, but rather the surface.
Temperature, yes, because some gases have a flash point, and if the surface temperature of that fixture exceeds the flash point, you'll have a fire. So finally, the last document we'll talk about is the Certificate of Compliance, which is a standard, widely recognized document in product certification. And notice that it does have the safety mark and the class ratings.
All right, Peter, now let's talk about mounting options for explosion-proof lights. Now, the most common one is gonna be from a ceiling. For example, if there's a paint warehouse or hazardous storage facility, they'll wanna mount it on the ceiling, which is the standard mount. I've also seen mounts like in an oil rig, for example. I've seen them mounted on the wall where it illuminates the derrick and things like that. Why don't you talk about the different mounts like ceiling, wall, etc.?
Yeah, we have the four main categories where you do have a wall mount, and then you have ceiling mount and pole mount, which, and then pendant mount. And we've had examples really of all of them. And more importantly, to facilitate the different types of mounts we have,
There's different accessories that are often required for mounting explosion-proof lights.
So, for example, we have the straight pipe for your pendant mounts, bended pipe for pole mounts. Then you have various supports for wall mounts. Cook mount is for ceiling. Then you have pole mounts. You have a pendant mount, and then a chain mount for a ceiling.
And then other accessories associated with explosion-proof lights?
The important accessory is your junction boxes, where you really have all your wiring being combined in there. And so you see that you can have a junction box for a ceiling mount with a pendant, or a junction box just to feed the various fixtures. You can feed up to four fixtures. Then you have a wall mount with a junction box. Then you have a emergency battery backup box, which would contain the emergency batteries. And again, we have all these accessories available, as well as the actual illuminaires or explosion-proof lights.
Now, do the accessories have to be certified similar to the explosion-proof lights?
Yes, in some cases they will be necessary. So for example, if you have a conduit connected to an explosion-proof, connected to an explosion-proof light, also going to a junction box, if there is an explosion, that will be continued up through the conduit to the junction box. So those accessories will have to be also rated for the appropriate environment. And notice that for these junction boxes, you can see that there's a CSA safety mark. So these are acceptable for operation in Canada and the US, and it also lists the classification ratings and even the IP protection.
What are the different types of explosion-proof lights available, the different shapes and structure, if you will, and what are their applications?
Yes, we have a number of types of explosion-proof lights available that we sell, where, for example, if you have a round one that's good for a open floor or high ceiling, that can be considered as a high bay. Rectangular light, maybe for an enclosed room with a high ceiling, also considered a high bay. You have linear explosion-proof lights, maybe for long corridors. Jelly jars, like this one here, typically are used in stairwells, walkways, or platforms. Vapor tight, let's say if you have a food or chemical processing plant that they need to hose down the equipment occasionally.
This one over here.
A vapor proof will be designed for that type of environment where it prevents ingress of moisture. Then you have corn lights for retrofits, for let's say if you have an older type of fixture that you want to replace the metal halite bulb with a efficient LED, that would be a corn light. Then you have emergency lights with and without exit signs. And then finally you have explosion-proof lights with integral battery backups or external.
Well, appreciate your detailed breakdown and deep dive on explosion-proof lighting, Peter. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the unique value proposition that commercialledlights.com offers their explosion-proof buyers.
Yeah, we represent 7 different explosion-proof light manufacturers. So we have a large assortment of fixtures. I counted 180. Plus, you have your mounting accessories, which we covered. We also provide lighting design services that include explosion-proof lights. You can see examples of the photometric rendering, where on the left side you have a chemical mixing room with multiple levels. Then you have a grain unloading elevator where you have a truck pull in and you unload the grain silo. Then you have a natural gas filling station. And we even did a photometric for a distillery. So those are some examples.
And one that's not actually mentioned here was a explosion-proof lighting design for the military, where it was a firing range that obviously had important regulations it had to abide by. And Peter here was able to assist them with the lighting design, selecting the appropriate fixtures, which class, which division. He has over 40 years experience on it from working at the utility company before even going to commercial LED lights. So this niche level of expertise is what separates commercial LED lights from other lighting stores that are just focusing on the sale, whereas we can provide that expertise and post-order support and ensuring that all explosion-proof lights are in the appropriate areas and that it's abiding by the various regulatory bodies across the world.
Yeah, and our sales force, we've been selling explosion-proof lights for a number of years, and we have gained extensive knowledge and experience in explosion-proof lights. And may I add one more point? LED explosion-proof lights are the way to go because they are 40% more efficient and they will have a much lower surface temperature. So LED explosion-proof lights compared to your traditional explosion-proof lights with your traditional lights, metal halides, etc., these LEDs are much, much safer.
They're built to last. Warranties range from 5 to 10 years, depending on the manufacturer and the fixture, but all of the stuff offering at commercial LED lights is commercial and industrial grade, and it abides by these various regulatory bodies. That's about all I have. Thanks for the detailed breakdown, Peter.
Thank you for the introduction, and that's it.